This is 89.9 WWNO. Yes, we're headed for another art-filled week. Are you making plans for Independence Day, or do you need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place. Whether you're in the mood for conversation with a pop icon protege, a talk with an author whose literary star is rising, or a new song about the World Cup, it's all in the mixed media. Come along as we go inside the arts. Hi, I'm your host, Diane Mack. The 20th annual Essence Festival kicks off this week. Headlining is singer-songwriter Prince among a host of celebrity performers. We caught up with a member of the Purple Rain Singers band, New Power Generation. She's background singer and Prince protege, Elisa Fiorillo Deese. She'll be performing with Prince at Essence Festival and has a new CD of her own. Elisa, welcome to Inside the Arts.
Good afternoon.
This must be a very exciting time for you. A new CD and a scheduled performance with Essence headliner Prince. How did you first connect with the pop star?
I was actually 21 years old, and I was working on an album with Chrysalis Records. So I was in Minnesota at Paisley Park working with a producer named David Z. And while we were working, we had kind of worked about 2 months, and finally Prince actually walked into the studio and started listening to what I was doing in there. I came into the room and I saw him there and he said, "Is that you?" And I said, "Yes." And he's like, "Go in there and sing. I don't believe you," because he didn't believe me. So I went in, I started singing, and then he believed me. And then he actually asked me to sing on the remix of Party Man from the Batman soundtrack. And then I ended up singing on the Graffiti Bridge soundtrack on a song called Love Machine. So we ended up a nice relationship working together, and he ended up kind of contributing to my album, co-writing my first single, which was On the Way Up, which was out in the 90s, and that's how we met.
So you've been with Prince for 20 years, did you say?
Yes, over 20 years I've known him.
What's it like working with Prince?
It's almost like he's from another planet, because I have never met anybody that is that talented. It's so hard to even grasp how much talent this man has. And he's so insightful just with life. He's very in touch with what's going on in the world, and he has a very big heart, and he's just a great teacher. I mean, all of us in the band, all the 11 horn players, and Liv and Shelby and I have learned so much. All the musicians have learned so much from him because he plays everything. I mean, if you don't play it right, he'll play it for you, and he'll play it better. So he's just an amazing teacher.
So now at Essence, what will you perform?
He will probably give us the set list that day, and we will get up there and we will just jam and just give the audience exactly what they want and more. Yeah, it's always a surprise, and I know that he has a couple of guests, Janelle Monáe and Liana Lajavis, Nile Rodgers.
Now, your latest album, Life in 20, is not your first, but it is a debut album with guitar virtuoso Tyler Reese. What are you exploring?
The album Life in 20 is about 20 years of writing, songs that I've had in my catalog that I've been waiting to do. Actually, I played with a guitarist, Andy McKee, that Prince had brought on the tour, the Welcome to America tour. And one night, we just were hanging out, and he was playing guitar, and I started singing, and Prince actually said to me, he's like, "You need to do an album like that." And I took it to heart, and I brought it home with me, and I said, "I got to find myself a guitar player." And a friend of mine that I had known for many years, Jeff Silverman, who ended up producing our album, introduced me to Tyler Reese. And he sent me a track, and I wrote something to it immediately. I had a melody and a lyric, and it just came out. So then he visited me in Vegas. We ended up writing for about 2 weeks, and we did a photo shoot, and we just said, "Let's do this."
What are some of the subjects that you tackle?
Well, there's a lot of them. I had unfortunately been in a domestic abusive relationship. So there's a song about getting out called What Good Is Love. There's a song about the struggles I've had in my life trying to lose weight. I wrote a song called Lollipop Ice Cream, which actually was Prince's favorite tune. And then there's songs about love and life and growing and being a mom. One of the songs is actually called A Mama Who Knows How to Funk, because my life is so scattered. One minute I'm home, I'm a mom, I'm doing everything I do as a mom, and then I get the call from Prince, time to go.
Ooh, 2 a.m., the baby. baby starts to cry. Heat up the milk and sing her a lullaby. Go back to bed and hope that she'll let me sleep through the night. Now it's 5 a.m. and the sun is up. Looking for some strength in my coffee cup. Every single day I'm tested, but I never lose sight. Moving to myself is all I really need. To create and sing brings out the best in me. Oh, it's true. When I hit a beat, doing its thing, doing its thing, it's a groove that you cannot deny what it do. So I gotta get on the mic, get on the mic, got to groove. Better my mama knows how to funk.
It's a really cute song, and I have a live horn section. Actually, one of the MPG horn players, Roy Aji, did the arrangement, and it's a very funky tune, and it's a mishmash of jazz and pop and R&B and everything that I am and everything that my voice encompasses, I did.
Now, do we hear notes of Prince in this project?
You definitely hear him rubbing off on me. His music has very much inspired me, and his writing. I just love quirky and cool and different.
Now, you could say music was in your genes. I believe your dad was a classical pianist?
Yes, he is a classical pianist. He still is a professor at Temple University, and he teaches piano, but he studied with the great Vladimir Horowitz, and so I grew up in a household with pianos playing and my grandmother singing and harmonizing with me, and my mom sang, and so it was kind of destined for me to be a singer and a performer.
Now, what will be most memorable from the concert performance with Prince during Essence?
Your feet will never feel the same, because it probably will be a very long concert, because he loves to play and keep playing. Your mind and your soul will be touched, and you will be inspired, because there is no other band in the world that plays live better than Prince and the MPG. And I said it. I said it. It said. You will be moved with the most amazing musical experience of your life.
Elisa Fiorillo-Deese, thanks for stopping by.
Oh, thank you very much. That was so much fun.
Elisa Fiorillo-Deese performs with Prince at Essence Festival in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome July 4th. Her new CD is Life in 20 by the Deese and Reese Project.
One day I wished I was something else. I was something else just like you. And I thought it was my only wish. Was my only wish till it came true. I became a different person that everybody else would love. But somehow deep within my heart, I knew it wasn't near enough. Wanna go to sleep and dream about lollipop ice cream, where nobody knows just who I am.
You're listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNO. I'm Diane Mack. While a who's who list of celebrity musicians rock the dome during Essence, the festival also offers other activities like free empowerment seminars and a chance to meet some of your favorite authors at the Montreal Convention Center. My next guest is Jason Mott, whose literary star continues to rise. Mott is the author of The Returned, a debut novel that became the basis last spring for the ABC television series Resurrection, starring Omar Epps. It's a story about the dead coming to live once again among their loved ones. Jason, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you very much for having me.
And congratulations on The Returned and the TV series Resurrection. Are you still pinching yourself at this point?
Yes, I pinch myself every day to make sure that this is real. The last 2 years have been a complete roller coaster ride, but in a very wonderful way, so it's very exciting.
The Return became a New York Times bestseller. People magazine hailed it as one of the best books of the season, and you received an NAACP Image Award. But the road to your success was not exactly smooth. Tell us your story and how you got noticed in the publishing industry.
Yes, it's been a very long road getting to this point. You know, as a writer, you never expect to kind of reach this point, but you always hope for it. So when I graduated from college, which I graduated with a degree in writing, I went to work at Verizon Wireless. You know, nothing very exciting, nothing very glamorous, but I kept writing throughout that process and kept submitting work. So I started the project, which would eventually become The Returned. I started that in 2010, finished it in 2011, started querying agents. It sat on an agent's shelf in her inbox for quite a long time and, you know, probably almost got deleted. But then luckily there was an intern who came across it and found it and really believed in the project, and she showed it to the agent. The agent loved it as well. And that's really the domino effect that started things moving for me. It was a case of a lot of perseverance combined with maybe just a little bit of good luck, and I'm okay with that.
Wow. How did the idea for the book come about?
The idea actually came about from a dream that I had. My personal backstory is that both of my parents have passed away, my mother in 2001 and my father in 2007. So in the summer of 2010, I had this wonderfully vivid dream that I came home from work and found my mother sitting at the kitchen table waiting for me. And I came in and sat with her, and for what seemed like hours, she and I just talked about all the things that had happened in the years since she passed away. We talked about my going to school, trying to be a writer. She gave me a hard time for not being married, because your mom kind of does. But it was this really wonderful thing where, for the first time in very nearly a decade, I truly felt as though I was back with my mother again. So I woke up that next morning, and of course she wasn't there, and honestly I was a little heartbroken all over again. But the dream stayed with me, like I could not get it out of my mind. And I was speaking to a friend a few weeks later, and at some point in our conversation about it, he said, wouldn't it be really amazing if that actually happened? And what if it wasn't just her? What if it was other people as well? And that's essentially where the project began.
And how did you develop the storyline and the characters?
A lot of it became this notion of trying to really take this idea and play it out in a realistic manner. You know, I did a lot of hypotheticals where if this actually happened, if my own mother actually did show up at my front door, how would I truly react to that? Even beyond the idea of that first initial reaction, that first initial moment of coming together again where there's tears and laughter and joy, what happens 3 months down the road or 6 months down the road where my mother is looking for this 22-year-old son she left behind and she finds a 35-year-old adult? So there was a lot of playing with that phenomenon and the idea of what happens to people when we march forward in our lives, and if we're suddenly reconnected with someone who represents a period from our past, how does that play out? So that's a lot of where the stories came from, actually.
Now, you are also a poet with two poetry collections. Tell us, how did you get interested in science fiction and the supernatural?
Well, it started pretty early, honestly. I grew up being a big lover of mythology and heroic tales and fantasy. I remember very early on reading the Odyssey and the Iliad and just world mythology and things of that manner. And I was always really fascinated with them. So as I progressed over the years and, you know, got into writing, becoming more serious about it, it's a case where that initial love, that initial introduction to reading, which for me was in the fantasy and sci-fi and supernatural realm, stayed with me. I think that over the years, it shifted more into a realistic kind of high concept kind of approach as opposed to being full hardcore science fiction. But I think the idea is the same thing. You know, I like to create worlds where the imagination is, you know, as rampant as possible and able to be as free as possible. And hopefully readers are coming to that and finding something unique there that they can resonate with.
Now, what went through your mind when The Returned caught the attention of Brad Pitt's production company?
That was a really unexpected moment. When I found out that there was interest from Plan B, which is Brad Pitt's film company, I was completely floored, did not expect that at all. I was actually a fan of Plan B. I'm a bit of a movie buff, so I knew who they were, and I knew the films they had made, and I was a big supporter. I liked their work. So to have them be interested in some of my work was a huge compliment to me and something that was very, very exciting. But it was completely unexpected. I never saw that coming in a million years. I think as a writer, you spend all this time alone with a project, kind of, you know, in your closet, so to speak, and you never know what's going to happen once it's kind of released and shared with more people. So to have a company, a film company of that quality interested in the project was completely humbling and just really overwhelming. And it was amazing to see the effect that these characters I've written were having on so many people. That's been the biggest thing for me.
Tell us more about your background. You grew up in the South?
Yes, born and raised in the South in a very small town called Bolton, North Carolina. And if you've never heard of that, it's completely okay. Very few people have heard of my town. It's a town of about 700 people in southeastern North Carolina. I actually still live on a dirt road, born and raised. It's that old way of life, very small town America kind of life. And I think it will always be a big part of who I am.
And it seems that you are not resting on your current success. I hear that you have a new book that's set to be released in October, The Wonder of All Things?
Yes, it's a book that I am very, very excited about. The Wonder of All Things follows a father and daughter over a period where the daughter is a very special child. She actually commits a miraculous healing in this very small town, and the world finds out about it, and the world becomes very interested in this young girl and her ability. Just a very wonderful tale that grew out of me watching a friend become a father, and the relationship that he had as a father to his daughter was something I wanted to try to play with and capture in a story.
Any advice for aspiring writers?
The hardest part of writing isn't sitting at your desk writing. It's sitting at your desk every day and writing. That becomes the most difficult part. But there's also an aspect that I've learned over the last couple of years. There's a very strong, helpful element in really enjoying the path to your success or the path to your writing, you know, blossoming and becoming better. You know, it takes a very long time for a writer to become a really good writer or an accomplished writer. Oftentimes people hear of the overnight success story, but it actually has been a very long road. You know, The Return is probably my fifth or sixth actual manuscript that I've written, but it took me five bad manuscripts to finally get one that was something that people would want to read. So I encourage writers to kind of remember that with their own writing, and don't be afraid of writing badly. Just keep writing.
Jason, congratulations on all of your success, and I hope to see you at Essence.
Thank you very much. I look forward to seeing everyone there.
Jason Mott, author of The Returned and the soon-to-be-released The Wonder of All Things, will be in the Essence bookstore at the Montreal Convention Center Saturday and Sunday at 3 p.m. The TV series Resurrection has been renewed for a second season on ABC.
Passamos agora da metade do primeiro tempo. Marcelo, Di Maria, tem condição legal, tem espaço, meteu cruzamento para trás, dominou Benzema!
I know you've been following the USA's success in the World Cup tournament. This week, local musician Manny Ortega dropped off an unexpected CD in my inbox. A song about the World Cup through the eyes of the players. It's called I Won't Give Up by the Lunch Truck Specials Band.
This is an agony. I see it, but just can't reach it. Ideas, they come to me, jumping around my head. But no one's clearly there. No certainty. Is this my destiny?
I Won't Give Up by Manny Ortega and his Latin funk and salsa band, the Lunch Truck Specials. The Stars and Stripes face Belgium this afternoon. And we have something extra in our Lanyap Corner. More ideas for your holiday weekend. Go Forth on the River celebrates Independence Day with a free dueling barges fireworks display on the riverfront between the Governor Nichols Street Wharf and the Canal Street Dock, beginning at 9 p.m. Friday. The fireworks show can be viewed from both sides of the river. It is ranked by the American Pyrotechnics Association as one of the top five must-see fireworks displays in the country. The National World War II Museum's Victory Bells will salute the USA with a trip down memory lane. The vocal trio will perform a potpourri of songs from the Great American Songbook. The Rivertown Theaters in Kenner presents this salute to America with performances running July 4th, 5th, and 6th. Rivertown Theaters for the Performing Arts is located at 325 Minor Street in Kenner. You can rock the 4th at the Bucktown Bash and Blessing of the Fleet. Leon Russell headlines the Shrimp and Music Extravaganza at the Bucktown Marina, Friday from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. And across the lake, the Mandeville City Seafood Festival kicks off 3 days of music and food. Bands include Bag of Donuts, Chiwis, Ozzie Cash, and others. Festivities get underway from noon to midnight, July 4th, and 5 p.m. to midnight, July 5th and 6th in Fountain Blue State Park. That arrangement of the Star Spangled Banner was performed by John Batiste and Stay Human. That's our show for this week. Inside the Arts is a production of WWNO. Our program is archived at WWNO.org. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette next Tuesday at 1 p.m. when we'll go inside the arts. Have a safe and happy holiday weekend. I'm Diane Mack.